Blog Talk Radio.
Are you trusting in Jesus today? Are you trusting in his word? Are you putting complete confidence in him? Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. This series title is Obey God and he will be on your side. Our scripture text for this week is Exodus 23:22. Which reads, "But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries." Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we worship you today. We thank you for this spring season that you have gloriously ushered in. We thank you, O Lord, that dreary winter, brutal winter, is now officially behind us. And now, Lord, we pray that as spring comes in, put a spring in our step, that we may go forth proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ to all who sit in darkness. Bless us, O God, we pray, as your church arises to evangelize and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're looking at that portion of the text that says, and it's in red, "Then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies." So this is the result. The result of what? Obeying the voice of God. Remember, we must obey his voice. To obey the voice of God is not just to nod our head in affirmation and say, yes, Lord, no. To obey is to do all that he tells us to do. When we listen to his voice, when we obey it, when we go out and do as God has instructed, then he will be an enemy unto thine enemies. So look at the outline, page 2. And I did this on purpose. Notice that the word enemy is so big. The word enemy, to thine enemies. Now, when you look at the word enemies in plural, it's tiny. So enemy is big. Enemies, plural, is very, very, very small. So I did that on purpose because I want you to see that you have a great God. And your great God will be an enemy to thine little enemies. Now, of course, your enemies and my enemies are too big for us to handle, but they're not too big for God to handle. Let's take, for example, let's take James chapter 4. Look what James chapter 4 says. James chapter 4. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. What does it mean when the Bible says submit? It's a Greek word which gives us a picture of an army. In fact, the word hupotasso is a military term. It means to come under the authority of the general. Submit, hupotasso, come under authority. Well, isn't that what Moses here records in Exodus 23:22? He says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak. Those two phrases right there mean submit. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, push back, and he will what? Flee from you. Your biggest enemy, my biggest enemy, our biggest enemy is none other than whom? The devil. Now, in comparison to the Lord, look at God. God is Satan's enemy when we do what? When we obey the voice of God and we do everything God wants us to do. Satan now has an enemy. That enemy is God. So Satan is tiny and God is big. And when we obey the Lord, when we submit to God, we can resist the devil. Why? Because we're under God's command. We're under God's leadership. And when we resist the devil, not in our strength, but as Paul says in Ephesians 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. So when you submit to God, you obey his voice, and you do everything he tells you to do, the devil won't seem as big. Why? Because our great God opposes the enemy of our souls. So he will be an enemy unto thine enemies. Now, if God weren't in the picture, if God were not in the picture, if God was completely out of the picture, boy, you and I would be in trouble. Because then our enemies would be huge. Satan, his principalities and powers, and they would be huge. But since God is on our side, we have nothing to fear. So James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Come under his authority. Come under his leadership. Obey his orders. Keep what he tells us to do. Keep it in your heart. Treasure it. Obey it. Live it out. Walk it out in your Christian life. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Push back on the devil, which is your ultimate enemy and my ultimate enemy. And what will happen to that ultimate enemy? He will have no choice but to tuck tail and run. He will flee from you. He'll flee from you. You have nothing to fear. Listen, saints. In the Garden of Eden, was it all the fallen angels that came against Adam and Eve? No, it wasn't all the fallen angels. It wasn't the principalities and powers and mights. referred to in Ephesians chapter 6. It wasn't that horde of demons that came against Adam and Eve. It was just the devil. Why just the devil? Because he's our greatest foe. He is our greatest foe. But our greatest foe turns into a midget when we obey the voice of God. When we do all that God would have us to do, this is why I don't understand why there's so much talk of demons in the church. Demon this and demon that, the Leviathan spirit, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit. The church today is always talking about this spirit and this demon and that demon. And I say, why? If we obey his voice and do all that he tells us to do, Satan won't be a factor. He just won't. Because God will be an enemy unto our enemies. And let me enumerate them for you. Let me take you to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at this. The Apostle Paul here enumerates what we are up against. And here it is in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, one, principalities. That's a certain group of demons. Against powers. That's a second group of demons. Against rulers of the darkness. That's a third group. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the fourth group. And the one over those four groups is Satan himself. But when we obey the voice of God and do all that he tells us to do, then the battle is no longer yours. It's no longer mine. He becomes an enemy unto our enemies. And that's the whole point. Look at Romans 16. Romans 16, 20. Look what Paul says. And the God of peace. Well, indeed, he's a God of peace. He's at peace with his children. God is not at war with his children, no. And the God who is at peace with us shall bruise Satan under our feet shortly. You see, Satan, that's your biggest enemy, Satan. He's the biggest one. Out of the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high places, he's the creme of the creme. And before God, he's nothing. He's a mosquito. So much talk about demons. Demons this and demons are doing this. Nonsense. I don't know what God these Christians serve. My God, my God, will take on all of hell. Jesus said, I will build my church. I say to these preachers who are always emphasizing and talking about demons, Jesus said he would build this church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. What are you talking about? Demon this, demon that. Why are you giving Satan such a big plug? Why do you talk of Satan so much? He's nothing. If we obey the voice of God and do all that he would have us to do in the word, as James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Come under God's leadership. Then you can take on the devil. And what happens when you take on the devil after coming under God's leadership? What happens? He flees. He runs. He's a coward. You'll see Satan and he'll have a yellow streak on his back as he runs away. He will flee. He doesn't say he walks away. No, he flees. He's met his match. When Satan comes across a group of people that obey the voice of God and do all that he tells us to do, he runs. He flees. Now, my precious brothers and sisters, it's so easy. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Scriptures. The voice of God is contained in the Word of God. You want to know what God would have us to do? We want to know what God would have us to do? Turn to His Word. Turn to the Bible, the Holy Bible. The Bible, the book that was Holy Ghost inspired, recorded without error. There's no contradicting message. You know, Revelation does not contradict James. And Galatians does not contradict Leviticus. Again, I go back to these preachers on so-called Christian television, so-called Christian radio, so-called Christian platforms, and you got contradicting messages which produce great confusion among the saints of God. If you would only turn to the Word of God, you won't be confused and you won't hear contradictory messages. The one voice you need to obey, the one person that you need to do all that he tells you to do is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who never contradict each other. So if we obey, look, again, look at, it's so simple. If thou shalt indeed obey his voice, whose voice? The voice of Jesus. And do all that I speak, if we were to do everything God the Father would have us to do, which he communicated to us when he sent Jesus, then God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will be an enemy unto our enemies. Now, in Hebrew, because the text in Exodus 23:22 was written in Hebrew, the Hebrew word for enemy is oyev. And this means all kinds of enemies. Do you have a personal enemy? Listen, you have a personal enemy in Satan. But he's not just your personal enemy. He also hates the congregation. Satan hates the people of God. But not only does he hate the people of God, he hates every nation on the face of the earth. Why? Because man was created in the image of God, and Satan's goal is to ruin all of humanity, doing so one nation at a time. So we, mankind, the church, you, I, we have a personal enemy. We have a congregational enemy. We have a national, global enemy. His name is Satan. And God pledges, if we obey his word, God pledges to be an enemy to your personal enemy, to the church's enemy, to the global enemy of mankind. And that is none other than Satan. The angels of God are sent to fight the devil and his angels. Let's go to Revelation 12. I want to close the broadcast by taking you to Revelation 12. Let's go to Revelation 12. I want to show you this right out of the book of Revelation. Revelation 12 gives us three pictures. Satan on a losing streak. Three pictures. First, Satan loses against Jesus. That's number one. In Revelation 12, there are three pictures. First, he loses to Jesus. Then he loses to Michael, the archangel, and the angels of heaven. Then he loses to the church. Let's read Revelation 12.
Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, She cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail full of 1/3 of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
All right, so the woman is the ancient church, the Old Testament church. The Old Testament church produces Messiah, produces Christ. The dragon is trying to devour, the dragon is attacking the woman or perched to attack the woman because he wants to destroy, he wants to devour her offspring. He wants to destroy the God-man, Jesus Christ. Well, he's defeated. He's thwarted. Jesus ascends to heaven, and Satan does not get to kill him as a child. Jesus offers himself up as our lamb as an adult. So Satan again loses that first battle. Now the second battle is found in Revelation 12, verses 7. Through 12. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 12. Let's read here. And this is against the second battle, the second defeat Satan suffers, is against Michael the archangel and the angels of heaven who are battling Satan and his demons.
And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven,
now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.
Well, there you go. He's kicked out of heaven. It says in verse 9, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels, his demons, were cast out with him. They were evicted. Second defeat. Get out of here. Beat it. Get lost. Satan's been cast down. It's over for him. So he loses against Christ. He loses against Michael the archangel and the host of heaven. Now he loses against the church. You'll see this from verses 13 to verse 17.
Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nursed for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth.
See, now Satan is in the earth with his fallen angels, and he's mad. So what does he do? He can't reach Christ. Christ is off limits. Michael the archangel and the angels of heaven have given him the boot. He's been cast down to the earth. Now, the only thing he can go after is the woman, which is the church. But God gives the church the wing, the two wings of an eagle, so that she's a, the dragon is chasing her, but he gives her supernaturally two wings of an eagle, and she flies away, and there's nothing, he can't reach her. He can't touch the woman. Then he tries to affect her flight by casting out of his mouth a tsunami of water. And that too fails because now the water is swallowed by the earth, whom God uses to take the water from attacking the woman. The earth opens up its mouth, and whatever the devil flushes out of his mouth, the earth swallows. So his attempt to tsunami away the woman, to carry her off, is ineffective. So again, twice he fails against the woman because twice she is divinely helped. Who is the woman? Well, the woman is the church. The woman is made up of those who obey the voice of God and do all that he speaks. You see, when we obey God's voice, when we do all that he speaks, then he becomes an enemy to our enemy. Who's our enemy? Satan. So much talk of the devil this, the devil that. Be quiet. You're giving the devil too much play. He's defeated. In Scripture, he's always being defeated. God is always outwitting the devil, outmuscling the devil, if you will. Satan is taking one beating after another. It's only these foolish ministers who don't read the Bible that are always talking about this demon and that demon. It's nonsense. Nonsense. Nonsensical gibberish. Read the Scriptures. If we obey the voice of God and do all that he tells us to do, God becomes an enemy. He's our champion. God, our champion, takes on Satan and defeats him, and defeats him soundly, and defeats him every single time. Satan is tired of losing, but that's all he can do against our God. I'll be back tomorrow to finish up this series and to encourage you to obey his voice and do all that God would have you to do. If you do that, you're going to be more than a conqueror. You're going to be victorious because God will fight for you. Remember what God said to King Jehoshaphat when Jehoshaphat and all Jerusalem was surrounded by that huge army. God said to Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours but the Lord's. And he says the same today, if we would only dare believe. Redeemer and friend, who
that second verse out again, please.